The Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spees.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-barred trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, John Spees.
I'm your co-host, Adam Spees.
Today, we are kicking off our Elite Eight round in our 2024 Patron Tournament. In one corner, he's your private dancer, a dancer for money. He'll do what you want him to do, and he's got the best legs in trivia. It's Michael, not Tina, Turner. Michael, welcome back to the show. Remind the folks at home a little bit about you.
I'm super glad you did not spoil that last night. That was fantastic. Yes, Michael Turner, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, technically Conway, but, you know, we're on the border. And television director for the local CBS affiliate and local trivia whore. Very much looking forward to see how this goes.
All right. In the other corner, he's a goody-two-goody-two-goody-goody-two-shoes. It's Adam Ant Wendell. Adam, welcome back to the show. Remind the folks at home a little bit about you.
Thanks, Adam Wendell, here in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., government drone, and I guess I'll call myself aspiring trivia whore.
Nice. We got to have goals. Yes. I appreciate that. All right, folks, let's learn how to play the game.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, before we get started, I, of course, want to know Michael and Adam just a little bit more. And since I kind of referenced some 80s pop tunes right there with the intros, I want to know, what's your favorite 80s pop tune?
That's a wide, wide selection right there.
It is, and I left it out open on purpose.
I think mine's fairly easy, actually. Tears for Fears, Everyone Wants to Rule the World.
Okay.
It's a great song.
I just love Real Genius.
All right, I'm going to, since I listened to the Billy Joel Boozy, I'm going to sort of suck up here a little bit, but it's true, and say the Downeaster Alexa.
All right. That's actually not an easy choice, because those are both great, fantastic songs. Both slightly different styles. I do love the Downeaster Alexa. But I think as a pop song, Everybody Wants to Rule the World is just a little bit better, per se. So Michael's going to get to pick in round one. Sir, what category would you like?
Let's do music.
All right. And we're going to start off in the 80s.
What 1986 song has become the most played music video in MTV history? Aardman Animation, the company behind Wallace and Gromit and Shaun the Sheep, were involved in the production of the video.
It's so funny that you mentioned this, because I was just listening to Trivial Warfare from this past Sunday, and there is a question about this song. It's Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer is correct. And I've been sitting on that question for a while, so they stole it from me. All right, over to Adam.
Let's start out with sports.
Ooh. And your decade is the 90s.
On July 10th, 1997, Michelle Feldman became the first woman to do what on national television? A feat she accomplished at the PWBA Southern Virginia Open at the age of 21.
I hope it's Bowl a Perfect Game.
Bowl a Perfect Game or Bowl a 300 is correct.
Nice.
All right, and we are back over to Michael.
Movies.
Movies. From the 90s.
And we have a question from Brian Nash. Oscar-winning Hollywood legend George C. Scott, Patton himself, voiced the main villain in which Disney animated film of the 1990s?
Not The Lion King, obviously. I feel like Aladdin. This is tough. It's not Hercules. I know that one. Oh, I have no idea. I'm gonna have to guess. I don't want to say Aladdin because I don't think it's Aladdin. I don't have a better answer, so I'm gonna say Aladdin.
Aladdin is incorrect. Adam, can you steal?
Can you read it one more time just to make sure I don't miss a clue that's sure. in there?
Oscar-winning Hollywood legend George C. Scott, Patton himself, voiced the main villain in which Disney animated film of the 1990s?
All right. So, like Turner, I know all the ones that it's not.
You're right.
Is this even 90s or is it 2000s? Let's go with The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame is also incorrect. My brother, Adam, I know I don't have to ask you if you know it.
Yeah, we talked about this one. At least I think Corey and I did. You and I talked about the original. Overlooked villain. I think he's fantastic. He was like this hunter guy out in Australia in The Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, no. I wouldn't have pulled that.
And his voice acting was fantastic.
Nice. I would have thought that was 80s, yeah, actually.
I think it came out in 1990.
Mm. Wow.
All right.
Okay. I don't feel bad. I wouldn't have pulled that.
No points there. And we are back to Adam. What category would you like?
Let's go TV. Okay.
And the 2000s.
Dylan Walsh and Julian McMahon starred as plastic surgeons in what 2003 series that aired on FX?
Nip Tuck.
Nip Tuck.
Or Nip Hyatt slash Tuck. Or whatever it is. Exactly.
Nip Tuck is correct. And we're back to Michael.
Literature.
Literature coming at you. And it's the 50s.
What 1959 novel by American writer William S. Burroughs is structured as a series of loosely connected, stripped-down vignettes intended by Burroughs to be read in any order?
Only William S. Burroughs thing I can think of is Naked Lunch.
Naked Lunch is correct.
Yes.
All right.
My favorite way to do the lunch, I'll say.
All right.
You're going to Little Caesars naked, Adam? Come on.
All right, Adam, we've got toys and games, news and politics, fashion, slang, and food left.
Oh, we just talked about lunch, so let's go with food.
Right. And we're going back to the 2000s.
In 2003, Icebreakers Mint released what product? Small balls of mint with a fluid inside.
Probably not right because they're balls, but the only other Icebreakers product I can think of is ice cubes.
Ice cubes is incorrect. Michael, can you steal?
Probably not. That was actually going to be my guess. Let's say ice pellets. I know that's not right.
Ice pellets is also incorrect. I don't remember how long they were out, but I do remember they were one of my favorite kind of go-to mint things. They were called Liquid Ice.
No.
Okay. Huh. Never heard of that.
Mm-mm. All right, well, point for me there. That's fine. And I believe we're back to Michael.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Remind me what we have left.
We have toys and games, news and politics, fashion, and slang.
Let's do slang.
And you're going back to the 50s for you.
Oh, wow.
In the 50s, you could see that Cheaters wasn't a TV show about infidelity. It was slang for what?
Glasses, spectacles.
Glasses is correct. And Adam.
Let's go news and politics. Okay.
And we've got us a 70s question.
On April 22nd, 1970, the United States celebrated what holiday for the first time, in which over 2,000 colleges and universities and roughly 10,000 primary and secondary schools participated?
April 22nd is Earth Day.
Earth Day is correct.
Nice.
All right, Michael.
Toys and games.
Little toys Shocker. And games. And you get the 50s again. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Well, you've gotten the last two ones, though. See?
I know, it's true. We'll see.
Though not related to Dolly, what English chess enthusiast created over 60 chess variants, including Alice Chess and the Racing Kings variant?
I'm just going to guess Parton, because I have no idea.
V.R. Parton is correct.
That's what I would have done.
Yep.
All right, Adam, we have fashion.
Yeah, here it is.
Yep. Oh, we fashion. Just got fashion left.
That's it, just fashion.
Just fashion.
Hey, we're staying in the 50s for you, Adam.
Of course we
God
are.
God bless it.
Sorry, John.
Maybe we should take everyone's advice and just move everything up to the 60s to the 2010s.
Yeah, 60s to 20s.
I'm just, honestly, it's 50s toys and games and 50s fashion that always get rolled, and I'm sick of I'm sick of researching questions for those two. All right, here we go. What women's fashion silhouette, produced by use of a corset and girdle, experienced a comeback in the 50s? Its primary feature is the abrupt transition from a natural width rib cage to an exceedingly small waist, with the hips curving out below. It takes its alliterative name from its similarity to a hornet's segmented body.
Hornet's segment. Yellow jacket?
Yellow jacket is incorrect. Michael, can you steal?
Probably not. He's alliterative name, so.
Oh, I forgot that part. Oh,
yeah, okay. I mean, that's fine.
I wasn't getting it anyway, but.
No, yeah. The bee's bonnet.
The bee's bonnet is also incorrect. So if you think about it, it's just that wide shape of, you know, under the ribs to a very small waist and around. It is called a wasp waist.
Oh, okay.
All right, that is the end of round one. Adam, what is our score?
All right, we've got us a close game right now. Michael Turner is in the lead ever so slightly with 40, but Adam's right behind with 30.
All right, well, Michael got to pick first in round one. So, Adam, you were going to pick for Michael to start off round two. What category do you want to give him?
You know it, it's fashion.
Absolutely. And it's the 60s.
Okay.
Designer Mary Quant is famous for popularizing what quaint fashion piece?
Really? That's all it is? Okay.
I know it, but that's because I've had to research so many of these questions as well.
All right, so quaint is obviously a hint that I'm just not registering in my head. I'll just say a miniskirt. That's not it.
Miniskirt is correct.
Yeah, it is.
What?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, crap. What a guess.
All right, sir. Now it's your turn to pick for Adam.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm like rambling.
He hasn't
I'm
been
like
called sir.
Like,
he does, yeah. He does.
News and politics.
News and politics for Adam. And it's the 60s.
In his campaign, John F. Kennedy promised to, quote, get America moving again, end quote. To do this, he proposed a wide range of policies which embraced what various macroeconomic theories and models of how aggregate demand strongly influences economic output and inflation.
Can you repeat the question? I just want to make sure I know what you're asking for.
Sure. In his campaign, John F. Kennedy promised to, quote, get America moving again, end quote. To do this, he proposed a wide range of policies which embraced what various macroeconomic theories and models of how aggregate demand strongly influences economic output and inflation.
Okay, so like I know the economics, I just am trying to figure out what term you're looking for. I think, is it Keynesian or Keynesian? Keynes?
Keynesian? I'm thinking it's Keynesian is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Is correct.
Yeah, it's John Maynard Keynes, Keynes, right. Yeah.
All right, good pull. And now you got to give a category to Michael.
Slang.
Right. And that slang is from the 70s.
First made popular in the 1970s on U.S. television show Saturday Night Live by Chevy Chase, what phrase is a double entendre that is usually added to a sentence which can be constructed as a euphemism or sexual innuendo?
One I'm not super familiar with. Oh, goodness gracious. I'm going to say sit on it.
Sit on it is incorrect. Adam, can you steal?
I'm sorry. Can you read the question one more time?
First made popular in the 1970s on the U.S. television show Saturday Night Live by Chevy Chase, what phrase is a double entendre usually added to a sentence which can be construed as a euphemism or sexual innuendo?
I watched, you know, I've seen those Saturday Night Lives. I'm going to know it when you say it. Guess that's what she said, although I doubt that's right.
That's what she said is correct.
Really?
Really?
Nice.
Wow.
Well, that's payback for a miniskirt, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Adam, what are we giving to Michael?
Nope, Michael, you got the steal.
No, other way around, right?
No. Oh, you got the steal, sorry. Michael, what are we giving to Adam?
Sports.
Okay. And it is the 2000s.
In 2006, Sam Hornish Jr. won the Indianapolis 500 when he overtook what legend literally in the final straightaway to win by 0.637 fifths of a second. The margin of victory was the second smallest in Indy 500 history.
2006. I'm just going to guess Andretti.
Marco Andretti is correct.
Wow. Good job.
I wasn't sure if you were going to ask for a first name because there's like six of them.
All right. Now, Adam, you're picking for Michael.
And what's left? Let's go Literature.
Literature coming at you. 2000s.
What five-issue limited series from 2005 was fittingly written by Robert Kirkman for Marvel Comics?
Only thing I know Robert Kirkman for is The Walking Dead. I don't know how that ties into Marvel, but I'm just going to say The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead is incorrect. Adam, can you steal?
So I know there are, is it just called Marvel Zombies? I'm going to go with Marvel Zombies.
Marvel Zombies is correct.
Yep. Good job.
All right, Adam got the steal. Michael, you got to give him a category. Left we've got movies, music, TV, toys and games, and food.
Toys and games.
Toys and games. And it's the 80s.
I was a child in the 80s, so.
What board game was released in 1980 and is designed for 2 to 362 players? Subtitled The Game of Norse Mythology, in it, each player chooses a champion from Norse mythology to be the victor at the Battle of Ragnarok between the Norse gods and giants.
Do not know this. You said Ragnarok in the question. Otherwise, that would have been my guess. let's just call it Asgard.
Asgard is incorrect. Michael, can you steal?
No, I've never heard of this. I will guess Vikings.
Vikings is also incorrect. I mean, you're all in the ballpark. But this was called the Hammer of Thor.
Oh,
I had never heard of it either. So don't feel too bad. All right, no points there. And now I believe Michael, you're picking
for me.
There you go.
And let's go food.
Okay. And it's the 90s.
Founded in 1992, what brand of big can drinks was first produced to compete with Snapple?
Yeah, is this Arizona?
Arizona is correct. All right, Michael, what are we giving to Adam?
TV.
Yeah, so I think we just have the big three left.
Yep. All right, TV, and it's the 90s.
If you cast the actors who played Santa Claus, Simba, the host of Family Feud, and Stripperella, you'd get what 1991 sitcom?
Oh, Home Improvement.
Home Improvement is correct.
Okay. Were you just thinking about
Stripperella? I started with Matthew Broderick, and I was like, what sitcom was he in?
Not that one, the other one. The other Simba.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Adam, what are you giving to Michael?
Let's give him music.
Okay. And your decade is the 90s.
I haven't done this in a while. We have something called Shakespeare a Song. Oh, I have translated a 1991 song into Shakespearese, as it were. And you need to tell me the title of the song. I bethought yon I hath heard thee laughing. I bethought yon I hath heard thee singeth. I bethought I did see thee trieth.
Oh, the best song with a mandolin ever. Screw you, Bruce Hornsby's Mandolin Rain. This is R.E.M.'s Losing My Religion.
Losing My Religion is correct.
I like Bruce Hornsby. I like Mandolin Rain.
Oh, I love Bruce Hornsby, but it's not better than Losing My Religion.
Sure.
All right, and that leaves movies for Adam.
It does. And your decade is the 60s. Don't sound so excited.
The tagline to this 1964 Sean Connery film was, Everything he touches turns to excitement.
Oh, Goldfinger?
Goldfinger is correct.
Well done. Took me a second to get from the... Yeah, I was like, this isn't... This doesn't sound like a Bond film. But that's a, you know, Midas touched yeah. gold. Yeah, right. Took me a second to get there, but got there.
All right, that is the end of round two. Adam, what is our score going into the final round?
Adam was able to make a little comeback, and now he's in the lead with 90 to Michael's 70. But who knows what's going to happen in this final round?
All right, well, let's find out what categories are going into that final round. Adam, since you were in the lead, which one would you like to add first?
Let's go news and politics.
Okay. News and politics. And that will be the 80s.
All right. And Michael?
Movies.
Okay. And that will be the 2000s.
Based on 80s news and politics and 2000s movies, I'm going to need you to send Adam your bids.
And we are good. The wagers are in.
All right. Here is your 80s news and politics story. Launched in 1986, what space station was the first modular and first continuously inhabited long-term research station in orbit? And your 2000s movie question. What 2004 film follows Baltimore firefighter Jack Morrison, portrayed by Joaquin Phoenix, who is trapped inside a warehouse fire, and his recollection of the events that got him to this point? Oh, I'm going to reread that question. I don't like the way I said that.
Sure.
What 2004 film follows Baltimore firefighter Jack Morrison, played by Joaquin Phoenix, who is trapped inside a warehouse fire, and his recollection of the events that got him to that point? The film rung in $102 million at the box office.
While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I am here to tell you, you need to be checking out the BFOPnetwork.com. That's BFOPnetwork.com, BFOPnetwork.com for all your nostalgic podcasting needs.
All right, I'm locked in.
All right, I'm locked in.
All right, well, let's find out what you put. Michael, since you were behind, what were your answers to the question?
For the news and politics, I guessed Skylab. And movies, I had no earthly idea. This is a Joaquin Phoenix movie I'm not familiar with at all. So I just said Warehouse.
All right. And Adam?
So for the space station, I said Mir, and though I think it might be Skylab. And I also didn't know on the movie, but I, using Rung In as hopefully a clue, I said The Bell.
All right. Well, in... news and politics, the name of the space station was Mir.
Nice. Good job.
Oh, good.
And the 2004 movie was Ladder 49.
Okay.
Different type of type
I have
of
heard
lines.
Of that.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. So unfortunately, no one is going to be getting their bids. Adam, let us know how this turned out.
All right. Well, we know people are going down, but how far did they go down? I will say, Adam wagered to cover and had... bid 51 points, and so he is dropping down to 39. Now, was Turner all in, or was he conservative? Turner was all in. He bid 70, so he is going down to nil, which means our bracket buster for this season, Adam Wendell, is continuing his run. Congrats, my man.
All right.
Excellent.
And you have a great name.
I will say,
great name.
For those of you on the my episode with Jeremy, who I had to put up for the with the 5-minute rant on the Dresden Files, I'm to keep the streak, I'm wearing a different Dresden Files t-shirt. So we'll see if we can keep that going.
So that's your good luck charm for sure.
All right. Well, the Cinderella story continues. Adam, we'll hear from you next time. Michael, unfortunately, this is the end of your tournament run. Sir, here is your time to promote, curse Adam's dice, whatever you want to do.
No, listen, it's always a good time. Sometimes the knowledge just doesn't come to you. And like, I debated putting down zero for a score. Cause like, I know my news and politics wasn't great, but you know, when you're having fun, you gotta go for it. So, no, I wish Adam all the luck in the world, can continue on being the bracket buster and
what you can do.
Yeah, and we'll catch you guys next time. I got nothing going on but a wedding.
Awesome, and congratulations on that, sir.
Yes,
yeah, congratulations,
Adam, my Adam. Who can other Adam expect to go on and face?
He will be taking on the winner of our Paul McLaughlin versus Will Dennison match that has yet to be recorded.
All right. Well, we'll see you then. Thank you again to Adam and Michael. That's Adam and I'm John. This was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Hey, everybody. I'm Tim.
And I'm Dean.
And we're the hosts of Talking Back. We're a retro-based podcast covering movies, comics, video games, and more.
Check us out every Monday where we hit the rewind button and dig into some of our favorite content from the past. We like to keep things fun, lighthearted, and informative.
Do you feel like you need more nostalgia in your life? Then check out Talking Back. We're available everywhere podcasts are found.